Our next guest you may have seen anchoring SportsCenter AM on ESPN, or you may now hear her as a host on SiriusXM or as the team reporter for the LA Rams. It is Serena Morales. Serena, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, definitely. So I have to start with the crazy Monday night game. It was 100 combined points, 1,000 combined yards, one of the weirdest, wildest Monday night games maybe ever. So you were there. What was it like that night?
I'm so excited from being at that game on the field. It was insane. I mean, there were points where I was looking at some of the players like, is this happening? Like, what are we doing? And the crowd was electric. I mean, you saw the rally towels being waved in the air. It was the first time I really felt that it was a true like the Rams are the LA team, right? Because the problem is, and it's not necessarily a problem for fans, but for Rams fans, this is a great place for teams to travel to watch their game, right? So Green Bay Packers fans want to leave Green Bay and watch their team play the Rams in a wonderfully warm stadium. So it's tough because filling the seats with Rams fans has been a bit difficult, just more because, you know, a lot of fans want to travel to see their team play, you know, this great team. That being said, the fact that we filled the Coliseum with 6 days' notice, and I mean, it was a packed house. It was electric. It was so special for me being part of this team since I joined in May has been a really special experience, you know, and then just the fact I've been able to experience how this team has, come back from a lot of different, you know, different injuries and just overall the stress of the last week, you know, going from the shootings, which were very close to the practice facility, then the fires, no one really healed or got to really process the shootings because we saw the fires happen that same day, less than 24 hours after the shootings took place in Thousand Oaks. And then the fires had people evacuating. Wade Phillips had to leave his house. There were a number of players who had to be, you know, relocated to hotels. And then, you know, we play Seattle. That was a close game in the Coliseum, only to then plan to go to Colorado Springs to train, you know, in high elevation, only to prepare for the Monday night game that was supposed to take place in Mexico, only to then be moved back to the Coliseum again with 6 days' notice. And for them to come out and do what they did in front of this crowd, the first responders there, you know, the Rams are such a great organization. The fact that they gave away free tickets, had first responders on the field, you know, those guys ended up meeting Jared Goff and Andrew Whitworth. And it was just such a special, special day. And it really felt like, oh, yeah, the Rams are LA's team. And obviously, you know, a record-breaking game on offense, but it was like a team. It felt like a true team effort, because I will say, even though, you know, there were 50 points scored, I would say that the defense had some of the biggest plays in the game and really made that win for us
right
possible.
Now, like you said, the game originally wasn't even supposed to be played in Los Angeles. How'd that all come together at last minute?
The magic of a lot of different people who work in the front office. when we found out that the game was going to be moved, we were already in Colorado Springs. And so there was a lot of, you know, as far as, the game day operations, we call him Slep. He's one of the masterminds who oversees, you know, the Jumbotron stuff that we do and you know, player interviews and all that. That's all. And we had the chain smokers perform. That had to be set up because, again, all of this happened last minute. You know, the Coliseum, everyone who works for the Coliseum, they had to prep. And then all the players, getting the hotel situated, the air travel flying back. We also had, you know, just figuring out travel for not just fans, but who were asking questions, but then getting all the tickets available. I mean, it was just an insane 6 days. For everyone, players were just kind of oh my God, people keep hitting me up for tickets. And I'm yeah, I mean, this is going to be an exciting game. And now it's back in LA. So, I mean, it was crazy, but then it all came together so perfectly. And I think that's what really is so impressive about this team is how they deal with adversity for the, you know, and Sean McVay says it best, right? How do you respond when something doesn't work out? How are you able to respond and improve and fix the things that didn't work out right. Like if you make a bad play or you make a mistake on the field, do you respond in a positive way? So I think that overall the team, the organization really did respond in the best way possible for 6 days notice and to fill the Coliseum and get that win on Monday Night Football.
Now, the game, you've mentioned this before, the game turned out to be an important community moment for the LA area following the fires and the shooting. Did it feel like a moment of kind of the community coming together around sports after kind of all of that of the past 2 weeks?
Oh, totally. I mean, we even said it, like, this is for LA. Like, I mean, it's been a really, really tough week. And obviously LA, I come from New York City and I've had my own experiences with, you know, things that have happened. Like I went through 9/11 and, you know, the blackout of, I forget what year that was, but I remember being downtown and working and all of a sudden the lights all shut off and Hurricane Sandy. Like I've definitely experienced a lot of different things that happen to big cities, but I've never experienced the fires and obviously shootings that took place so close to the practice facility. And for the guys to just be so so aware of what was happening, but also like, you know, someone like Andrew Whitworth, who basically donated his salary, which is about $60,000, to the victims who were affected by the shootings, and us raising $1 million for those affected by the fires. Like the Rams really do want to be part of this community. They find this to be really important. They live in LA. You know, they go to restaurants in LA. They love the fans here, you know. And so, you know, I work very closely with the community service group, and the things that we do every week, like when players have off on Tuesdays, they're still going and volunteering, you know, in different parts, like at schools and hospitals. They're still active in the community on their days off. So for the Rams organization to put first responders in those seats for free and just to show like the gratitude of being welcome and part of this community. And then for the Rams to show up and give such a high scoring game and an exciting game, you know, under the lights for Monday Night Football, it really did feel like this game was for LA.
Now, one of the best stories for the Rams this year has been Jared Goff, local boy to this area, a Novato born. Seen kind of an evolution of Jared Goff as a quarterback this year. He's one of the top in the league. What's been the difference for him?
I think he's getting comfortable. I you know, I see Jared in the locker room and it's like the same as if he's on the field. It's the same as if he's talking to me about, you know, random foods that he likes and doesn't like to eat. Like it's the same as if he's talking about his mom. Like he is always the same Jared, and I think that's what's so special about him. Like he never gets overly excited. He's poised. I think, you know, the guys just love Jared, and he has such a great relationship with Sean McVay, and you know, Sean always talks about what a smart player Jared is, and it comes down to being comfortable. I mean, you go in your first year, that was a tumultuous year, like just in general for that team, and then they were moving to LA, and you know, you're a first round pick, you're the first pick in the draft, like there's a lot of hype around that, you're a young guy, you know, and he never really let all of the talk affect him, right? Like I think it's just growing pains for him. And now coming in with, you know, the savant that Sean McVay is on offense, to work with someone who wants to work hard and wants to be able to execute those plays, he's now starting to trick the defense with his eyes. And I just think that, you know, he was set up to succeed because of the players now that they've put in place, like Robert Woods and getting Brandon Cooks in the offseason. You know, seeing the you know, growth from Cooper Kupp from last year to this year. And unfortunately, you know, we lost him because of that ACL injury. But, you know, putting players in place to make it so that Jared can succeed, I think is really the difference. Like Jared has always been the quarterback and has always been capable of being the quarterback that we see this season. But I think it's also like, how can we set him up to succeed? And I think Sean McVay has done a great job working with Jared on doing that.
Right. And as you mentioned, the first year was so tough for him. I mean, sometimes rookies don't even recover from that. Was it Sean McVay that sort of helped him work through that to get where he is now?
Yeah, I think that it's all the players, right? Like this locker room is one of the best locker rooms to be around. There's again, we have one of the best O-lines in the NFL, and I think that goes to show, okay, like, let's protect our quarterback. And, you know, you have a mix of, like, young and old guys, and, like, someone like Andrew Whitworth was super close to Jared. You know, like, Andrew Whitworth's kids are, like, adore Jared Goff, right? And so I think there is, like, you know, having John Sullivan and Roger Saffold all there to protect Jared is one thing, because now, you know, if you've got him protected, well, then we can have, you know, Jared taking the time he needs to make sure that he throws those accurate throws that we see him do week after week. And so I think it starts with, like, protecting him. This is the O-line also, this is the second year where they have the same guys pretty much lining up, which is a very unique thing. Like, no one really has changed out of that group. So you have that, you know, group of trust. You've got Jared now more comfortable being protected. And then he had the capability this whole time to throw those passes that we've seen, and they're so accurate. But now, you know, I think, you know, there was talk in the beginning of the season, oh, we're not using the tight ends enough, right? Like, what happened to those guys? We're only seeing, you know, these throws to, like, the wideouts. Well, now we're seeing, you know, touchdowns from Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee. And I think, you know, even someone like Malcolm Brown, like, he's beyond capable of starting on any NFL team without someone named Todd Gurley. And so, like, we've even seen, you know, a rotation of guys moving in and out, you know, given some of the injuries that this offense has experienced. But I think it goes down to protecting Jared, making him feel comfortable in order to make plays, right, and making those decisions.
Now, he's become a real leader in the locker room, but is actually also a really funny guy. There's a great video of him on YouTube, I think, pranking a high school team that's amazing. What is Jared Goff off the field?
Jared off the field is, I mean, he was super excited when Halle Berry tweeted about this call, his play. I think he jokes, but he jokes in, like, this, you wouldn't even notice it if he told the joke, right? It's like, if you're not aware of it, like, you might miss it, right?
It's already gone.
So awesome. Yeah. Like, he's so clever, but it's like, he can almost make himself laugh and then be okay with that, right? Jared, again, like, for being as young as he is and for the poise that he carries himself, yeah, he loves to joke around, and I think that's part of his personality that we don't get to see every day. That being said, I think you see it when you follow him on social media. Like, every once in a while, you'll see a funny tweet from him. And I just, he's a great guy to be around. Like, just a really, he's a kind person. He's a loves his family. His family supports him. It's kind of funny because this season we started doing Two Truths and a Lie with the players. I get a fan to try and guess which one is the lie from the players. And we did, Jared was the Two Truths and a Lie for the Rams edition at the game this Monday. Uh-huh. And his lie was that he loves surfing. Because he's actually never surfed, even though he's from California. It's like, I've never surfed. I have no desire to do that. So it's just like stuff like that where, like, you know, working with him to figure out what he wants to say about himself. You know, he's just a funny, like, oh, yeah, I'll say that I've never surfed before. Like, you know, things like that, you know, but he's like clever in his own head. And I think that's what's funny about him.
Now, it's been a great start from the Rams this year. What's going to test them as the season winds down and they get into the playoffs?
You know, I feel like they've been tested all season, right? I think they just really need to maximize their takeaways. Like, I think, and we saw this actually in many, many times, but I think in the game on Monday night against the Chiefs, like, you know, when the defense comes out, and I know there's been a lot of talk about the defense and, you know, just Marcus Peters and stuff like that, but, like, one, we've lost someone like Aqib Talib, who was another huge leader in this locker room and for the Rams. I mean, he was named a captain on the team as a guy who just came on to the team this year for a reason, right? A 10-year veteran in the league. Marcus Peters looks to Aqib for not just, you know, mentorship, but, like, this is someone that they have a mutual respect for each other. So that being said, when you lose Aqib on the field, It can affect someone like Marcus Peters. I actually looked this up. Marcus Peters, the past two seasons, when he played for the Chiefs, was playing 93% on the right side of the field. after they lost the keep to Leib due to that injury, he ended up splitting his time 50-50 downfield because he's obviously covering the best wideout on the other team. So, like, there's a comfortable, like, he's going through his own transition, right? And so I think that's going to be the greatest challenge is when we get those interceptions on defense, like, let's maximize it and score some points, right? We've seen special teams do this, you know, getting safeties. You know, I think someone like Corey Littleton is always an unsung hero with his punt blocking abilities this season. It was great to see someone like Samson Ava come, you know, this past game, score two defensive touchdowns, which pretty much solidified, like, that was our win, right? And so I think it's really like when one part of our team doesn't necessarily, you know, roll into action right away, the other part, like whether it's when, and Sean McVay says this, you know, it's all three phases of football, special teams, defense, offense. I think the biggest challenge will be like each part of the three phases picking each other up when need be. And we've seen that all season, but I think, you know, maximizing on those takeaways and getting the ball back into Jared Goff's hands is truly what will keep this team going into the playoffs.
Right. It's going to be a long run for them, I think. I think they're going to they're going to be going a long way. Now, for you specifically, now beyond your work with the Rams, you're a big sports fan in your own right. Where can everyone find you on SiriusXM?
On this Friday, you can find me on SiriusXM with Zach Harper. He's at Talk Hoops on Twitter. Actually, really funny follow to catch on Twitter because he's got like 100,000 followers and he thinks he's Twitter famous. But so I host Mad Dog Radio with Zach Harper from time to time. So you can catch us on this Friday from 5 to 8 Pacific. I'll be on with Zach talking general sports and of course the Rams.
Excellent. And hopefully they don't beat up our Niners too bad to end the year.
Well, I can't make any promises for you.
That could get ugly. Well, she is the team reporter for the LA Rams. Also, catch her on SiriusXM. She is Serena Morales. Serena, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.